How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of That Mill Podcast, edition number 43 of the 2021-22 season. Joining myself, Omer, is my regular co-host, Mr. Mickey Simpson. Right, guys?
Yes, mate, you?
Yeah, living the dream. Living the dream as always, mate. Not let you down at the gym just yet. So, you know, we're due for our first session tomorrow morning. So, you know, things are going hunky-dory.
Third session. And it's not too bad so far. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, we're consistent with it so far. About? Oh, you see, Kai didn't tune into the podcast the other day.
No. Don't tell him. You need to listen to episode. You need to listen to episode 42, mate.
I saw a comment on YouTube saying something like Mickey and Omar something, and then I didn't quite catch it, but it was like
bikinis.
That's it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you need to listen to episode 42 to realise what we're talking about.
There you go. Wow. See, you've got to get involved, Kai. Hello to you as well, by the way, mate. How you doing?
I'm not too bad, mate. Do you like my painting on the wall, by the way?
Yes, I love it. We've discovered that StreamYard have all sorts of Dory effects nowadays, so I think me and Mickey got the blur screen. Kai's got Tim Cahill and Neil Harris, two legends in the background there. What game was it, Kai?
Sunderland 2004 semi-finals, I think.
Testing, because you was what, probably 2 years old then?
One and a half.
Oh my god. Mickey, how old was you in 2004?
Your age now.
40.
I was your age. I was how old you are now. I was that age.
Unbelievable.
So 20 years ago, wouldn't it? Near enough. What? No, 18 years ago?
18 years ago, yeah.
So 18 years ago, I would have been, 24, maybe 25.
A little insight into the age that Mickey is nowadays, but it's all right, mate. We're all going to get there one day.
46.
How old
46,
are you?
46, 47 this year.
Obviously, today's show, guys, we're going to be talking about Tuesday night's drubbing / whatever you want to call it. We'll go into more detail about that game at Fulham, 3-0 defeat. And the second part of the show, we're going to talk about a welcome back to Millwall. I'm going to put him as a legend because he is in my time anyway. And I think, you know, he's in the scoring charts in the top 10, isn't he? Steve Morrison comes back to town on Saturday, leading Cardiff City to the Den. Looking to make it 4 wins on the bounce in the league for them. So we'll go straight to part number one now. Obviously, if you're new around here, be sure to like the video, subscribe if you're new. If you're listening on audio, you can subscribe too. It helps us bump up the charts just a little bit more. And we're massive
in there at the minute, mate. So thank you very much for everyone who's been doing it.
And like we always say, we appreciate any sort of interactions we get because it's quite fun to keep up with you guys and see what you're saying. But yeah, we'll go into the first part of the show now. And welcome to the first part of the show. As mentioned, Millwall lost 3-0 to the hands of Fulham. 3-0 defeat, Kai, at Craven Cottage. I guess a bit of a synopsis, please, mate, of what you made of Tuesday night.
Definitely wasn't a 3-0 scoreline. The majority, there was some large parts of the game where I thought we actually looked quite a good side, actually. We matched them in terms of the ball in terms of retention of the ball. Our play, I thought our passing was quite nice. We looked to get forward well. Murray Wallace was outstanding. I think Rowett, said it in his post-match. You know, he said that we probably actually had better chances than they did. We just didn't take them, but they did. And that's the difference, isn't it?
Mickey, glass half full, glass half empty after that. I mean, talk to me. I mean, let's put a bit of obviously a caveat to it. It was 3-0 defeat. Mitrovic scored after 29 minutes, and then he then scored in the 50th minute to make it 2-0. We made our customary sub of taking off a defender, putting Jed Wallace on the pitch in the 57th minute. And I agree with Kai, from that point onwards, we was definitely in the game. But it's one of those where you look at it and go, we didn't have any chances the first half playing a back five, went to back four, started to go for it again, and no coincidence, we gave him a game. But at the same time, they're 2-0 up and kind of coasting at that point. And as Kai said there, we didn't take any chances either, mate. So what did you make of Tuesday night, pal?
I think it weren't a bad game, to be fair, considering who it was when we thought we were going to get a drubbing. Do I think it was great? No, I think it was another absolute masterclass in Rowett's tactical fucking expertise. Also showed us up for how badly we don't have a proven goal scorer, because I think if we had, like Fulham's got a couple of players what can stick balls away, I think it could have been a different game. But look, it is what it is. We lost 3-0. It could have been a lot worse. But then again, you know, if we had played attacking from the first moment rather than, you know, waiting for the subs, then maybe if we could have got a goal, it could have gone, you know, it might have gone a different way. But hey-ho, it is what it is. And we're used to this defending football now, but badly.
I touched on it there. Obviously, we played a back five. An interesting selection, obviously, in the heart of the defence there, Kai, with Alex Pearce coming in. Scott Malone, obviously, injured. So it was a back five of Bielkowski, Hutchison, Pearce, Cooper, McNamara and Wallace. Before I go into the rest of the team, obviously, Pearce was in there. I mean, I don't think he was by any means poor. I feel kind of twisted on Pearce nowadays. He's always been the kind of the brunt end of the jokes amongst Mill fans. We don't really know why he stayed around for football in a sense. We always say, oh, he's good in the dressing room. But now that I've seen him play recently in a few games, I see what he brings to the side in his organisational skills. And you can see him constantly barking orders. But he's just not a championship centre-half anymore, is he, Kai? And it was interesting anyway, I thought, when I was sitting there in the pub having a pre-game pint. And then I'm thinking the prospect of Mitrovic against Alex Pearce. It played out, obviously, Mitrovic scored twice. I'm not going to say Pearce is at fault for both the goals. But the defending was a bit questionable, you could say, for the first, and the same for the second in the end. So it's one of those where, you know, it just kind of shows limitations, I guess, we got as a squad. Ballard's soon to be back, but Pearce playing on Tuesday was definitely a raised eyebrow for me.
Definitely. And when I rang my granddad to tell him the team about, quarter to seven, he was so annoyed. He was fuming. He goes, "You could have told me that a bit earlier. I wouldn't have come." he's like, he didn't believe me. He just didn't believe it. I told him that Malone was injured, or, you know, he's injured now. I raised my eyebrows too as well. I was really surprised to see him in the team. I didn't actually think he did all that bad. I thought he was, you know, very good in terms of his, you know, captain skills, in terms of organising everyone. You know, he has that knack of just trying to get everyone up for a game. I think he does it well. But I think with maybe Ballard in the middle, or Murray Wallace and Malone at left back, you know, we might have done a little bit better. Malone hasn't been great at all this season, but I just think with Murray Wallace in the centre instead, we might have been a bit more stable in there. But Murray Wallace had a fantastic game, didn't he? Second half, was it Mitrovic when he sort of outmuscled him, didn't he? And I think he might have. Did he put it through his legs as well? It was quite difficult.
Right side of the pitch after a set piece, he then takes him on down the right flank, manages to put it through his legs, and like you say, put a good ball into the box. I'm with you that, you know, I don't think it was poor to an extent, but we still lost 3-0, Kai. You know, and Mickey, as Kai said, people had good games. There's a couple standout moments where we could have got back in the game. We'll touch on half in a minute. But obviously, the rest of the team was Mitchell, Keith and Beld, Bennett, and Burke with a phobia up top. Can you say, obviously, Kai say Murray Wallace had a good, you know, great game, and, you know, has definitely put some moments of joy into Mill fans, you know, taking on players and doing things you just don't expect Murray Wallace to do, but at the same time do. Can you say anyone played well when we lose 3-0, or what do you think, mate? Mickey?
I don't know. I mean, look, at the end of the day, we could have been spanked fucking 6-7-0 and we weren't. I think we did take it to him to a degree, but it's that proven scorer. We just haven't got a proven scorer. And with a team like Fulham, you don't get any opportunities. Do you know what I mean? If you don't have people running with it or be able to get in there, you're not going to be able to kick it through, are you? You're not going to be able to lob the ball up with a team like Fulham. It just ain't going to happen. So, yeah, okay, Wallace is good, you know, he's okay, but he's coming back. But no, I still don't think they're as passionate as they want to be. And I don't know, mate. I'm drawn now whether or not it's the team just playing shit or it's fucking something's not right there. With the rumours what come out today, I mean, it seems to be every day we go to record a show, there seems to be another rumour coming out, another WhatsApp messages and everything else, everything coming out today. You just don't know, do you? Is it the club? Is it the board? Is it, you know, is it Rowett? What's the issue? Why don't they just seem to play, you know, how we all think they should play? Why isn't Rowett just playing them as a back four and going forward? We know why he played a back five, because he wanted to try and, you know, as he said on previous fucking press conferences before, want to keep ourselves in the game. And then about 55, 65 minutes. I'll bring on a couple of fast paces and we'll have a go at the counter-attack. Well, if you'd have played that from the fucking 25 minutes, then we might have been in with a chance.
It's all hearsay. But let's park the rumours because they're there, obviously, and I'm sure a lot of people will get past the same rumours. But they're rumours for a reason, and anyone could have made them text up for all we know and try to, you know, spread hearsay.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Let's park the boards and the club for a minute and let's talk about on the pitch. The person in charge of them set of players is Gary Rowett, Kai. I hear what Mickey's saying, and I think everyone thinks the same sort of thing. You know, we've gone to Fulham, they've scored a silly amount of goals, and they broke records for goal scorers. Mitrovic is going to get 32 goals probably by the weekend, and he's going to be the all-time best in the season for Championship ever in February. I get it, Kai. But am I being a bit cynical by saying if we had a, you know, you look at Nottingham Forest on the weekend, beating Leicester 4-1, with a team, Nottingham Forest, by the way, that start of the season couldn't buy a win for Toffee, to use a phrase Mickey likes to use, couldn't do it for Toffee. But is it because we're not drilled enough? Are we, there's no style of play to this Millwall team. I couldn't tell you how Millwall play, Kai. Maybe if it's a different coach in charge, if we have a system that we all kind of get behind and trust and know, we might have been able to give Fulham a bit of a better game. I don't know if that's just me thinking that, Kai, or if I'm being a bit of a cynic. What do you reckon, mate?
I think we need to have a bit more of an identity in the team. Rather, you know, I think, you know, Rowett does have that five at the back, and that does that. Our identity at the moment is five at the back, but our identity isn't enough to win games at the moment. Under Harris, when we had Harris, you know, in League One, the Championship, we had a set identity, and you know, we knew what we were going to do to win games. And obviously, my answer is not bring Harris back, not by, you know, he's doing very well at Gillingham, but you know, that's not the answer. I don't think. Obviously, I'd like to see Harris back at some point, but in many years to come, once he's a bit more experienced. Go on, Mickey.
It's a good comment on Hoff that Rowett's never got a team promoted from the Championship. He's sort of like, he's the manager really for a team that comes into the Championship. He gets them established as a Championship club, and then you need to bring someone else in to take them the next step. And he's done that. I mean, don't get us wrong. The first 2 years he's established us as a middle table club in the Championship, which is great, which the board wants and obviously everyone wants. But you know, this season, what's he doing? I mean,
he established us though, Mickey? Or are we going backwards?
I think this season, we seem to be going backwards.
Because the only reason I say that is I feel like the first...
We've not moved, have we?
No, we haven't. And if anything, we are going backwards because we're up to February now and a lot of people are writing the season off. I'm not saying we couldn't go on a crazy run. What, there's 17 games left in our season. You could, in theory, string a good run of form together and go for it in all intents and purposes and give good games against opposition. We'll talk about the Cardiff game, obviously, in more detail in a bit. But we both, all three of us know, we're not going to go for it against Cardiff on Saturday. We're going to manage the game.
He's going to play
it for the last half hour, as he always says. Despite the fact before the Fulham game, he's saying, you know, the way to play against these sides is to attack them. We had two shots in the first half, and I think the best chance we had was Keith Nobel on a half volley from outside the box. Yeah. We don't create chances in this 5-2-3 system. We kind of leave our strikers isolated. You know, you've got Burke in there with his electric pace, who I actually thought had a good game Tuesday night at moments. But you need to bring these players into the game. You need to throw bodies forward and go for it. And of course, when you play against Fulham, you know, and if we got a 0-0 on Tuesday night, I think we'd all be sitting here going, how the fuck did we do that? Happy days. Yeah. However, there is no system that I can get behind from this right side. And I've been saying it for weeks upon end. Because what is there about this Millwall team? We obviously, Kai mentioned Neil Harris's Millwall when we got promoted. Yeah, we got him in after Holloway. He was a firefighter, sorted things out. And then there was a clear identity to how we play. We've got Millwall-type players in there. I hate that word, but it's true. We had Millwall players in there that understood the club, how to play in front of the fans. And one of them is going to be in the dugout on Saturday against us. And I bet you any money that Cardiff team is probably going to run rampant on Saturday. I really do think it, because we're not going to line up with a back four Saturday. We're not going to go and try and attack the game. We're not going to have four attackers on the pitch to try and pick teams apart. We're going to sit back and let teams come onto us and try to counterattack them. And
At home.
And I'm just fed up with it. I really am. And I know, look, like I said, I agree, like, you know, with Mickey, what you said earlier. I probably thought we'd probably lose 6 or 7-0 Tuesday night. And don't get me wrong, like, I thought first 10 minutes we gave it a good go. And then we just faded away. And we go 2-0 down. He makes a predictable sub, takes Pierce off, put Wallace on. And by the way, we look so much better team now that he's back. I don't know if anyone thought that. Obviously, he had no direct involvement in all the chances. Like he was involved a couple. But Kai, just having that presence of Jed on the pitch, I think it just lifts the rest of the players and believes they can create something. I don't know if you think the same.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I was just going to touch back on the start of the game. I thought, you know, Mitrovic scored 29th minute. But the first 10, 15 minutes, I thought, you know, Keith probably should have done better, shouldn't he, with that strike? Yeah. You know, and maybe if he scores there, I'm not saying we would have won, but I'm just saying that would have been a nice little start. You never know, do you? So, yeah,
but it would have just covered over how shit Rao it is, though, isn't it? I mean, if you look at back through the season, has the wins we've got, have they been great or are they just covering over the cracks?
Only the Birmingham game was a good win. Only the Birmingham
Maybe Stoke, where we turned it around.
Like, yeah, that was a good win as well, yeah.
But that was only for a 20-minute spell. And like we've yet to show over a full 90-minute game where we just go for it. And
no,
was
that,
Stoke?
After the game, Rao is turning around and saying, you know, we've got 17 games left. It's up to the players now to make something of this. Well, yeah, but it's also up to you to set a team up to go for it. And I think I speak on behalf of you both here and everyone else listening and everyone else that watches Mill on a weekly basis. We just want to see a team with a bit of bite about them, a bit of desire to win the game and just unleash the attackers we've got. You've got a lot of attackers there at the club now. No forwards, admittedly. And I do think that's a questionable one because I didn't think Afobe was poor on Tuesday, but he knows he's going to start every game at the moment in the system.
I think he was quite isolated, wasn't he, Afobe?
Yeah, it's true.
He
had that chance in the second half and Rodak makes a great save, makes himself big. And we all thought he was in at the time. I don't know how, but we did, even though we're right in front of the goal. But I just question the idea that, okay, we didn't get our targets we all wanted and we'll get onto the paper articles that have come out today from South London Press. But like, I just think to myself, like, there is no hope here with this team under the manager. Am I being silly, Mickey? I'm struggling to get my words into it here because it's the same story it's been all season.
I don't think you are. I think it's one of them. The players are capable of playing if you let them play the way they want to play. But Rowett seems to think that he knows best. When you watch these coaching videos, what are across YouTube, what are out, the way he wants people to play, the way he pretends is his way, isn't the way the team's playing. You might see a few bits of it, but it's not the way that, you know, he wants to play fastball, all of that. All he seems to do is get the ball and keep fucking it, passing it backwards. If we actually put the effort into passing the ball forward, keeping hold of it and going forward with the ball, we might get more chances. So it's, you know, look, I'm getting to the stage now where I think, you know, there's something not right. The players aren't listening to him. His tactics are potentially, they think, are shit, or he just hasn't got any power over the team. And we're shit. We need a striker. We didn't get a striker in, you know. Thank fuck we didn't necessarily get a defender in either. But we got a 29-year-old fucking player who's not really on fire at the minute. It's as if we want to go to Marks and Spencer's, but we stop off at fucking Aldi on the way. Do you know what I mean?
I think I think Freeman is actually an interesting signing. Like, and
I thought he looked good when he came on.
And yeah, he did look good.
I think he
is 29 years old.
But that doesn't mean he's not over the hill, but he's not our player. So it's like you're better in someone else's player. If Freeman becomes our best player for the next 17 games, I assure you he won't sign for us next season because he'll have a value on his head and someone will sign him thinking he does the business in the Championship. And that's the problem. And I just feel like we're going in a weird cycle of we're just signing loan players. And like,
we're going to be fucked in the summer.
Well, yeah, this is what I was coming on to. Because obviously, just to end up on the Fulham game, obviously, Declan Overreed scores towards the end. Let's be honest, right? None of us expected to get a result against Fulham, but I just thought we could have took more of a game to them before we did in the second half. We looked good in the second half. Jed had a good chance he should have scored. Ollie Burke's direct running was, you know, great to see. And I do think there's an actual weapon there with him to have because when he has the ball and he's running at people with direct pace, no one knows what he's going to do. And I don't think he does either at times.
Yeah.
However, what he does is he attracts all the players towards him. And that was highlighted in that Jed chance where there's three or four players around Burke. He gets his head up, sees Jed Wallace on the edge of the 6-yard line, gives it to him, and Jed should bury it, shouldn't he, Kai?
Have you noticed the way he presses as well? But he's a very really clever, because he sort of tiptoes towards them, and then he bolts them, and then they're like, oh my god, he's here! Like he's won them so many times like that.
And like, don't get me wrong, like signing Burke, when we, let's be honest, we all think our season's over. It comes at the expense of playing, you know, potentially Bury or however he wants to line this team up. And that is a downside, because we want to see our young players, see how they can do in the Championship. And this is the perfect time to audition them and see what they're like. And I think the same for Muller. I hope he gets a chance. And Nana Boateng, you know, I hope these players come in towards the end of the season, especially as our season's petering away to nothingness at the moment. So that is a downside. But as Mickey touched on there, Kai, we have a lot of players out of contract at the end of the season, and we have a lot of your loan players here. And I think we're going to be left with 14 first-team players, if you include the loanies that are out on loan in League 1 and 2 at the moment, and they're going to come back to us. What are you expecting to happen towards the end of the season here that's going to start to take shape of routes Millwall? And also, why have we got to this scenario now where we've not got many contracted players going into the new season? Crazy.
Why? No, I think there's going to be a big rebuild, isn't there? I think Dan Marsh said it the other week, didn't he? That, you know, there needs to be, you know, a lot of players come in the summer, a lot of forwards, because you've got a majority of them out.
But let's have it right, Kai. We've been saying for the last two summers and last two January windows, there needs to be a rebuild. There needs to be movement. And here we are.
Do you trust Rarit to be the person who does that rebuild? Because I think
he said to me.
Yeah, go on.
What I want to say here is that what I want to say right now with the bunch that we have. Right, the attackers that we have right now who are probably going to go in the summer. You know, obviously you've got loanies like Bennick, Shea, Ollie Burke, obviously them. You know, them players. Hopefully you can sign them permanently. It's difficult deals to do, but hopefully Bennick and Ojo would. You hope we maybe had to sign them permanently. And I think with the players we've got right now, and I know Mickey touched on it earlier, that them players are more than capable of. I'm just going back a little bit here and just touching on what you said earlier. That them players are more than capable of being let free, if you know what I mean, and just let them go up teams. You know, I'm not saying we'd be like Fulham and we'd score six or seven, but I definitely think we've got the capability in that team to score more than two.
We
three,
don't
four.
Need to score six or seven. All we need to do is score one or two and then defend.
Well, this is another problem, you know, there, Nicky.
Score two, defend, clean sheets, go. First year he came in, we had clean sheets. Second season. Okay, third season, we don't seem to be able to get a clean sheet for fucking game. Yeah, he comes out on press conference going, two clean sheets on a bounce, that's really good for us. Fuck off.
We can't keep clean sheets either. So something's terribly gone wrong in this team's setup. We don't create a lot of chances. We don't score a lot of chances we do get. And then we also struggle to keep clean sheets. It's a bad tonic there. Bad recipe. And the reason why I touched on, obviously, the contract situation as well, it stinks of the year we went down with Harris.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Holloway was in charge. There's a lot of loan players in that squad as well. And even if you backdate it to 2006, the year we went down, there was still a lot of loan players there, a lot of young players around the squad. And then we went down, and then we had that summer on Spatman where we signed, 17 players or something stupid for the first team squad. I just feel like it's a sense of deja vu at the minute. I'm not saying we're going to go down this year. We've got enough points now to nurse our way through for the rest of the season. But downward slope is concerning. And it's the same what happened under Jacket. We had Sean St. Ledger on loan. We had, you know, Rob Hulse on loan. We had a lot of players in that squad that weren't our players. And players also that are starting to age. Like, this team is not getting any younger. And you're seeing Danny Mack and Billy Mitchell come through. But there's no one else that's getting you excited for the future, if that makes sense. And there's no one here past Jed Wallace as well going in the summer, which we all think is going to happen, and who can blame him for that. But we're all saying it's going to be a big rebuild. I personally don't think he's the man to do it. And I question, so now it comes on to the article from today, where he's talking to South London Press, and he's saying both Ikpeazu and Hugel, who both play for Cardiff and probably will both start on Saturday against us, who knows, I reckon Ikpeazu definitely will. They were both targets for us in the January window. We knew we was linked to them, but he's actually come out actively and said there were players on his list there, Kai. Firstly, would you make of him saying that and admitting to that? Because he doesn't often talk a lot about player targets, I don't think. He often is quite hush-hush about it. And also, the window's gone now. So why are we talking about it? Obviously, he's been asked by, you know, probably Richard in that scenario there, Rich Cowley. But the fact that he said that, is that him saying the club didn't back him? Or players are turning us down? Would you read into that, Kai?
Well, this is only a strange one, isn't it? Because it sort of implies that we missed out.
Correct.
So,
and it wasn't just speculation either, was it? It was actually we wanted them and we didn't get them. That's what it sounds like.
It's a little bit strange, I think, because obviously sort of comes out as if we sort of missed out on our targets, and that doesn't look good for Rowett anyway. I'm not really sure what he's trying to achieve by saying that. It's not gonna sway their opinion. They're not gonna go, oh, we want to come to Millwall now.
Cynical cap on. He's doing that so that when shit hits a fan, he can say, well, these are the players I wanted, what would make the decision I wanted, which would make the change I wanted to give us the attacking presence, what I need to play a certain way. And unfortunately, the board didn't back me. And the backhand of that will be that the board will probably come out and say, we wanted to get these players, but they wouldn't come to us because of everything that's been going on with our fan base and everything else. And it would just be fucking tied in. That's how I could see that playing out. Do you know
what the funny thing is?
There's been all the bullshit about, you know, we're losing sponsors, even though you look at their LinkedIn page, there's fucking loads of sponsors being announced and everything else. There's this, that, and the other. But you can see the way that could play out, can't you? Rarick trying to play dirty on the club. The club will sit there and go, no, we were going to give it. But these players didn't want to come to us. They, you know, think, yeah, Cardiff, potentially. I mean, there was one on off earlier. Cardiff is a bigger club than us. They might have more money. They might have better prospects, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know. I personally think they didn't want to come to us because they didn't like his style of football.
Probably a culmination of everything.
Morrison's style of football is passion and hunger.
I put a tweet out about the article that I questioned there. And a lot of people are mixed, saying, well, we don't often get the targets we want, blah, blah, blah. I think if we really wanted a player and the manager was back to go and get that player, there's no reason why we couldn't sign them, in my opinion. And I know Cardiff are probably realistically a bigger club, but we're in a better position on the table with aspirations to try and get into the playoffs in January time. Let's say, you know, we are. And we're not selling the club enough then, I guess, or we're not going for targets that the manager wants. And is that because, maybe again being a cynic here, do the club maybe see a future after the manager when we get to the summer window?
Absolutely.
Who knows?
Question for you. You're a professional football player, half decent, like the players that have gone to Cardiff. You got a choice in your hand between Rowett and Millwall. You go to an interview, you go see these people, you got Rowett, Millwall, or you got Stevie Morrison, Cardiff. What manager is going to give you that little bit and go, do you know what? There's something about him. I want to play under him. They're going places.
Well, if you ask me, it's Millwall, mate. So
no, forget the football team behind it. You've got Gary Rowett with another football team, Steve Morrison, another football team. What manager would you want to go fucking play for? Because I know who I'd want to go play for.
Well, it's a hard one because Morrison doesn't have the pedigree or he doesn't have the background of being a manager, but he looks obviously to have got Cardiff sing off the same hymn sheet. And this is what I worry about going into the game because, what are they, 3 wins on the bounce, trying to make it 4th on come Saturday. And he has a clear vision to what he wants. And also, I know obviously they're a bigger club, probably a bigger budget, but he got all the targets he wanted in that January window. I think they signed 5 or 6 players. There's a lot of players in that squad that he signed. And the club have backed him to go and get them players. Whereas in our case, we didn't get any targets that we wanted. Well, we got Burke and Freeman. I think both are decent signings, to be honest. And now that I've seen them both playing glimpses, I hope Freeman gets a chance on Saturday to show what he's worth. But I'm conscious we need to probably wrap up this part one anyway. But I guess the underlying question here is, Mickey, do you think Wright's going to be in the job in the summer? We think his contract's going to be out come the end of the season.
It's going. All the signs, the press release, you say the rumours and all that. I'm not going to read what the rumours are because
people make rumours up though, mate.
Look, I totally agree with you. But think about it realistically, right? You got Richard's piece with him. We've spoken to other journos where they've sort of spoken about and said, you know, well, I didn't think he was happy. There was something up. Then those rumours. Then the fact that players he wanted, we didn't get. Now, why didn't we get? Is it that the board don't want to spend any money? when, you know, they've got aspirations of going to the Premiership. It's beneficial for everybody. But if you're not going to invest, you're never going to get there. And then, you know, is it what you said? Is it that Rowett's contract is up at the end of the summer, which I think it is? I think end of July, I think his contract's up. And I think he's got the option for a rolling year-by-year extension. Is it that they don't want to be stitched up with players what aren't the club's players? So if they get rid of him, he goes, they bring in a new manager. Then, for instance, that manager can then doesn't have to worry too much about shifting loads and loads of players. They can go, right, you've got to rebuild. You've got a whole summer window to buy your players. Go for it.
Well, this goes back to my point. This goes back to my point of there's no one at the club that pulls the strings in these transfers. I'm not saying that the club should do the full business and the manager shouldn't get any say, but there needs to be a cooperative thing here that is life after Rowett, and that doesn't happen, or it seems to not happen anyway. Kai, same question to you, mate. Do you think Rowett's going to be here in the summer pulling the strings, trying to form his squad going into next season? Just a hunch. We don't have to quite take your quote as final, but you've got a feeling now.
At the moment, no, I don't think he will be. Okay. I just feel like, you know, it's a difficult one because obviously, if you look at his recent records, he tends to only stay at clubs for about 3 years. So it's about 3 years. So it's getting up to that point. And I wonder whether maybe that it might be time for a change in the summer. But the going back to the Iguazu one, I know we don't want to talk about too much, but the weird thing is it's different signals because start of the window, comes out and says, you know, we're after young players, young, you know, attacking players. And Iguazu, I think Iguazu's only 26, but Hugill was like 29.
Mm.
So that why, if we're going for young players, why have them you've shifted the attention to a 29-year-old? It's a bit strange. But I know Sam Freeman, but I think that was more of an attacking midfielder because we needed an attacking midfielder anyway. But them two, I mean, Iguazu would suit the fit, but how does Hugill fit that? I don't know.
Yeah, good point. And it's true. I mean, the same question goes out to our listeners and our viewers on YouTube. Just let us know what you think. I mean, answer the question. Do you think Rowett will be here in the summer? And if so, why? And the same, I guess, against it and what you think. Because we're not sure. I don't think anyone knows. I don't think even Rowett knows what his future holds. And I think you'll be both right to mention, obviously, Kai, you said about how long was he stayed at the club previously. And also, I think Mickey said to me on the text side today, his loyalty's not really been the greatest. You know, he'd done the dirty on Derby, went to Stoke, albeit Stoke probably in a better financial position, and Rowett still was coming into Derby all along. But yeah, who knows? Who really knows? But that's the end of part one anyway. We're going to go straight to part number two just to finish the show off to talk all things Cardiff City. And welcome to the second part of the show. As mentioned, our nearest and dearest Welsh cousins, Cardiff City, come down to the Den as we play them on Saturday. Yeah, well, that's it. I'm bigging it up because, you know, fingers crossed none of them topple over the edge like they did a few years ago when he thought he had wings after having a Red Bull. But come on, Mickey, what are you expecting from Cardiff City when Steve Morrison comes to town?
Hopefully no one falls off the top tier this week.
You just literally repeated what I just said there.
Oh, I know. I weren't listening to you say it.
Yeah, I know you wasn't. That's what I can tell.
I'm like you, mate. I've got a feeling that Stevie Morrison knows how to play us, knows how to play the crowd to the advantage. If you listen to him on podcasts and stuff, he sits there and knows what to do to rally the crowd. He's going to get the crowd, you know, possibly against him so that it will drive his players. And I can see him running all over us, especially if Rowett goes five at the back. If Rowett comes out going 4-4-2, then we might get a game on.
Obviously, Kai, I mean, maybe you know the figures to be more precise, but, you know, Steve Morrison seems to have a bit of a tough time going into the new year as Cardiff manager. And he's been there a little while now, obviously got given the job after, Cor, help me, who is the geezer in charge before him? Come on, with knowledge here, guys, come on.
Oh, it was...
Turn the fuck round.
Oh,
turn the fuck round.
He's watching.
Oh, my God, it was Harris. Oh, that's awful, isn't it?
It wasn't Harris, was it? No, that
Harris was at Cardiff.
Harris was at Cardiff, and then who went there after?
Was it Harris then, actually? This is great.
No, it was... What's his name? Wasn't it McCarthy?
Yes, it was Mick McCarthy.
Yeah.
They've had three Millwall managers on the spin. That's right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Three Millwall players, or managers. Someone three linked Millwall.
Mick McCarthy did play for Millwall, though, didn't he? Yeah, and managed Millwall as well.
But back to my point anyway, obviously, you know, they had a tricky spell there and they've backed him, like I said, in the January window. They signed four or five real good talents and obviously have really kind of kicked on now. Three wins in their last three in the league and obviously did themselves no shame at Liverpool on Sunday in the FA Cup. What are you expecting from Steve Morrison's side? I think they're well organised. They seem to be playing similar sort of system to, ironically, that Gary Wright does as well. But I think their firepower might be just a bit too much for us on Saturday and the momentum they've got at the moment, fresh off a 4-0 win against Peterborough the other night.
I think they're going to be a good side. They've got lots of big centre-backs, haven't they? So it'll be dangerous from set pieces. So we're going to have to sort of try and probably play it along the ground through to either Afobe or Burke, get them in behind. Obviously, three centre-backs, I think Flint, Morrison and I can't remember the other one. But they've got three big centre-backs. And if you get them basically turning towards their own goal, they're going to struggle. So I think pace is the way to go on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Burke, Bennett, Jed, Afobe, Freeman. Well, obviously Freeman probably comes on, doesn't he? I'd like to see. It's weird because obviously Savile's back, isn't he? But he didn't come on the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Obviously, I think Billy plays it anyway. Always, I think Billy's been really good so far. Keith, I'm not sure, but you know, I think Keith's good. I thought Keith had a good game on Tuesday night. I thought he had a good game. So it's difficult to drop him, but maybe if we're going to try and go a bit more attacking, we'll probably put Savile in there, won't we?
Yeah.
Savile and Billy in the middle. And then maybe I'd like to see a 4-2-3-1. So Danny Mac, Hutch, Cooper, Murray Wallace. Then I'd like to see Savile and Billy, Jed, Bennett, Burke, Afobe, and then Freeman to come on.
Okay, interesting. We don't know how fit Freeman is, obviously. But
that's what I'm going to go with. That's why I've put him in now. I think once he's fit, I think he'll probably come into it.
Yeah, interesting point there. And it's true. I think he obviously showed glimmers at times. You know, he's got obviously a great touch on the ball. Freeman carries the ball well as well. Yeah. And he can travel with it. And hopefully that's something, you know, back into your point there of trying to turn their centre-halves and try and just get at them, really, and just see what we can do. I think it'll be a game made for Ollie Burke. I just think Cardiff are going to win on Saturday. I really do, lads. And I hope the reverse psychology works again. But I just can't get past the momentum they've got. They seem to be really mean in business at the moment as well. And that factor of Morrison coming back to the Den, he loves being a pantomime villain at the best of times when he played for us. And I think he's going to revel in it on Saturday. The five signs they've made anyway, I just thought I'd say, obviously, Ikpeazu, Hugel, Alfie Doughty, ex-Charlton player, Thomas Doyle on loan from City. These are all five loanies, by the way, as well. And Cody Dramé from Leeds United. And also they recalled Ryan Wintle from Blackpool as well. I think he just seems to have just stamped his mark on the squad there, Kai. And I think he's saying my way or the highway. And obviously, based on their recent form, a lot of players are buying into what he's doing there at the club.
No, he's done well. They've got a strong forward line in terms of their strength, holding up the play. Got quick players running off them. Doyle's very good. Doyle's played a couple of times for City as well in the past, and every time he comes on, he always looks very good. So he's a good sign. And that Cody, is it Dramar?
Mm-hmm.
He's really highly rated at Leeds. Obviously, Hugo and Ikpeazu, I think, is strong. He knows where the net is as well. I'm not saying he's a 10. No, I'm not saying he's a 15 goal season striker, but the games where he doesn't score goals, he'll give. His attributes will be, you know, his physical strength, hold up play, getting players to run in behind, play it to them. So no, they're well drilled. It'll be a tough game, but I'll be positive as always and go for a 2-0 Millwall win.
Wow. Okay, Mickey, what do you reckon for Saturday's game, mate?
Two selections, I suppose. If we go pace and we play young and play how we want it to play, then I reckon we might get 1-0, maybe 2-1. Yeah. But I think if we go back five, I think Morrison will piss all over us and I can see us getting beat 2-3-0.
I'll tell you why we're going to play back five Saturday, because Cardiff played back five as well. And so we will play with back five. I guess it will be a balancing act of try and just cause them problems where we can. And we've said this all along. I am at the point where I just feel like just go for it. We're mid-table. We're slowly drifting into nothingness. Try and rescue the season as best as you can. He laid it out after post-match in his interview with the club on Tuesday night, saying, you know, 17 games to go, time for the players to just show something and make something happen. Well, there you go. This is it. Let's see if his words actually carry any weight amongst the players and whether they go for it. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw Saturday. I think it's going to be a tough game. I personally see us probably getting edged out. I really do. But with that said, if I see a back four and I see Wallace in the side on the right, I see Burke, potentially Freeman in there, and a Phobie up top because we ain't got really anyone else to play up front, I can see us giving them a good game. It's just whether or not we actually decide to try and give them a game or just try and cope with what's in front of us. So
that's my basis for a 2-0 win as well. Obviously, five at the back, I think it could be tight, but 2-0 if we play with pace.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see on that. And obviously, if you're listening, be sure to put your predictions down in the comment section below. Get in touch with us on Twitter at @ThatMillPods. Leave the video a like if you're new around here. Subscribe, we really appreciate it. Is there anything else, Mickey, you want to say before we shoot, pal?
Yes, mate, just a final up. I just want to say, obviously, this Saturday is a memorial game. The reason that it's played around this date is, those of you who didn't know, when the fan of the board, they wanted to do Memorial Night, asked for it to be played around this date. And funnily enough, when it first came in, we played Cardiff. So it's quite touching that we're doing it again with Cardiff this week. But yeah, just want to mention the names of Al Smith, Bob Bond, Bill Ward, Rodney Phillips, Stephen Metcalf, John Webb, Stephen Bayes, and Stephen King. Those names probably mean nothing to most of the younger visitors or the younger viewers, but those guys, those eight guys were on their way to a game, Millwall away to Southampton on the 11th of February 1978. So when you're listening to this, it is going to be the 11th of February. Unfortunately, they were involved in a serious car accident down towards Basingstoke Way. And unfortunately, eight Millwall fans that day lost their life. A lot of their family still comes now, but it's something what I said a few years ago and other people have done that we're never going to forget them and just keep saying. So, you know, on February the 11th, we make a post, we make a tweet in social media and put their names out there. And I just wanted to finish the show with putting their names out there again. So, yeah, this year is the 43rd anniversary. To most fans probably weren't even born then, most of the younger listeners. But as far as we're here, we won't forget them. And they were the names of the Basingstoke Eight. So rest in peace, lads.
Nicely said, Mickey. And can absolutely agree with everything you said there, mate. And obviously, shout out to Fulham for what they did for Paul Parrish's family on Tuesday night. Yeah. And well done to everyone that getting involved in minutes of applause. We don't expect anything less from Mill fans. And obviously, it was nice to see these scenes at the end. And obviously, we're meant to his family as well. So, yeah, that's us anyway, guys. Be sure to obviously interact with us. We do appreciate everything that we get from you guys. And we'll be back probably on Monday to talk all things Mill winning against Cardiff, hopefully. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Clive.
That's right, mate. No worries. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to keep this in now because that was quite awkward and quite funny. Cheers, mate.
I can hear you. Yeah, just sort of froze on my screen. I went, oh.
Hello, everyone. And no one knew. See you later.